Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I don't think we need to worry about that. I do not think we need to worry about this. Okay, it's that time. It is that time. We are preparing for Christmas. The fuse has been lit. We are on our countdown, and sadly, for many of us, the next several weeks are going to be more about punch lists and shopping trips and preparation for parties and concerts and programs and cleaning our house to host guests and packing bags to travel. We're going to be more focused on that stuff than we are going to be focused on drawing closer to God or drawing closer to those around us. If you're like me, you have details and you have planning that needs to be done. And sometimes, can't you agree with me that gets overwhelming? You know, I've already heard in talking with another person, a friend of mine, the comment that I hear every year, and I have said a lot of years, I just can't wait till January gets here. And the truth is, it becomes overwhelming, the rat race of this time of year. It feels like it's an impossible situation. How are we going to get everything that needs to be done, done? How are we going to get our Christmas cards done and in the mail and on and on and on and on? And we wonder, is that really what this time of year is all about? What have we done to it? Well, we've been discussing the seemingly impossible events surrounding the incarnation. That's what our series is all about as we journey towards Christmas. Now, if we want to understand the birth of Christ, if we really want to grasp it maybe a bit more than we do already, certainly something that would be helpful for us is to grasp the timing of this event, because it's truly staggering. It's truly staggering. And so, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 and 5, and that's going to kind of be our runway to take off our discussion today. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So that's a wonderful verse here, and it says an awful lot. First of all, it tells us of when Christ came, and the answer to that question is when the fullness of time had come. Another translation says it like this: but at just the right time. Everybody say the right time. At just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. That's an important, the timing of God is what we want to discuss today. Because when we look at it with our natural eyes, it's kind of staggering. It doesn't make sense why we have all these prophecies. I mean, you have years and years and years and years of prophecies, and then you have 400 years where it doesn't appear that anything is happening. It's like nothing's going on. Did God fall asleep? Did he get busy and hit the snooze button and just wait? Because if we want to be honest, in our lives, would you agree with me that there are seasons in our lives where we think, what is going on? Come on, God, wouldn't you just get on with it? Well, that's all about the timing of God. Roger Maris, you know, Roger Maris, he broke the home run record from Babe Ruth. He hit 61 home runs, and they interviewed him during that season, and they asked him, what's the secret to hitting your home runs? And he said, well, as he gave his response, he did not talk about strength. He did not talk about power. He didn't mention strength. He didn't mention power. He didn't even mention bat speed. What Roger Maris said was, the secret to hitting home runs is split second timing. More than any of these other things, it's split second timing. And the birth of Christ is all about timing. I mean, consider this statement, the fullness of time. What on earth is this referring to? Well, The timing of Christ is a powerful thing. In fact, you've heard maybe the saying, Christ split time. And that's why we have things like B.C. and A.D. So B.C. stands for, we're gonna talk about that in a second because we have some problems there. And A.D. stands for? Oh, thank you. We had one of them right. We had some others. It's not after death. Some people think it's B.C. and A.D. is after death. Here's a great thing for those of you who love trivia. Where's Michelle? Michelle, you're a token trivia person here. I'm going to give you the trivia nugget of all nuggets here. So B.C. and A.D., actually it was these connotations were added around 525 by a monk, a really wonderful monk here who was commissioned to find the exact date of Easter. And then he worked back and he assigned, he looked back and he decided that he thought that the birth of Christ was going to be in 1 AD. Here's the problem. As they examined it, we now find out when you line up Roman events, he miscalculated. It was actually more between 4 and 6, or between 6 and 4 BC is actually probably the year that Christ was born. So we got a little bit of a problem there. But the AD, he, as this monk, his name, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher it, is Dionysius Exiguus. There's your wonderful trivia thing. So when you get that question, you have that down and then you can call me. So we have this time, and so he announced this, that this BC and AD, as we heard, AD is not after death, it's anno domino, in other words, the year of our Lord, or the year of the Lord. So we are in 2017, the year of the Lord. It's interesting now for you history people that they're moving away, like all things, are trying to strip our culture from Christ. They did B.C. and A.D. because the birth of Christ is the most significant event in all human history. That's, yeah, good. I got an amen on that one. Good. And now they're trying to move to B.C.E. and C.E., which is before Common Era and Common Era. So if you see those titles and those names, you can kind of understand what that is. So why is this? Why didn't Jesus just come at the end of the prophetic time? In Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we read, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." We have this prophecy given, and then 400 years, roughly, of nothing. I know we're getting ready for Christmas, and those parents, maybe you've gone on a shopping trip, and you're trying to, maybe if you wrap your present, you don't want to put them down too early, because what do you think's going to happen? Do we know any snoopers? Anybody have snoopers in their household? Come on, raise your hand. If you got a snooper in your household, I want to see. Yeah, yeah. My sister was the world's worst snooper. I mean, I'm convinced she always would sneak down in the middle of the night. She'd get up like at 2 a.m, she'd sneak down and she'd literally take a X-Acto knife, and back when they had those, and she'd cut the tape and she'd open the presents and unwrap them and then see them and then get on the phone. And back then we had party lines, and so mom would have the phone in here and she'd get so mad that my sister knew everything and she never had a surprise. She couldn't wait. And so one year my mom, Gretchen, wanted a new stereo. This is going to show you how old she is. A new stereo with an 8-track player. And so she got her this and she put it in a big box and stenciled the letters "Bean Bag Chair." And then got on the party line to hear Gretchen say, "I'm getting a bean bag chair." And she's like, And so Gretchen told all of her friends, she ran off and she told all of her friends that she was getting a beanbag chair. Here's the problem. She went with the message at the wrong time. And so it was an incorrect message. She went on, and without the fullness of time coming here, the message was all distorted, it was incorrect, and it was wrong. And if we look here at the wisdom of God in waiting, everybody say waiting. I hate waiting. I got mad the other day. It was at lunch, and I was a little bit late for lunch, and there was nobody in the drive-thru, and I thought I could get a salad quickly. And I went through, and I was like, yeah, I just want this chicken salad, blah, 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 blah. Next thing I knew, I hate being parked when you got to wait. 10 minutes! I had to wait 10 minutes! And everyone was driving by, and one of my friends drove by and said, "What'd you order?" I said, "A chicken salad." They said, "That's why carnivores rule the world." And he took off. with his Big Mac. So there you go. Anyway, as we're looking here, why in the world did we have to wait 400 years for the birth of Christ? Well, this is what's referred to as the intertestamental period. And it's actually a very interesting thing. Now, I'm going to tell you flat out, I'm not really good at history. I was that guy in class who could learn it for the test, and then 5 minutes later, I struggled. But I'd like to kind of convey some key events that happened and then tie it up with a bow when we get to the end, because it really is important stuff. First of all, have you ever seen the Back to the Future movies where they get knocked on the head, and then they wake up, and everything's different? When we look at Malachi and what's happening in Malachi, and then we come to Matthew, it's like one of those movies. Everything is different. The whole culture has transformed. It's crazy. And we see the same thing happen over this period of time. Why? Well, if we look at this, Daniel prophesied. In the book of Daniel chapter 2, we see Nebuchadnezzar can't sleep. He's having this dream, and he has this image. Go ahead and click that image if you would. This image of this bronze, or of this multi-metalled statue, and it had a head of gold, and it had a chest and arms of silver, and then a midsection of bronze, and then we have iron and various different things on the feet. And then a little bit later in chapter 7, it gets a little deeper where we have these animals that are representing kingdoms that kind of line up with this revelation of events that are happening and are going to continue to happen. Now, this head of gold represents the Babylonian Empire. Remember, the children of Israel, they fell into apostasy. They refused to be faithful to God. And so the northern kingdom fell and was dispersed. And then the southern kingdom, finally through the Babylonian Empire, was drawn off into captivity. Okay? So that's this first kingdom. Well, then we see this second kingdom that happens. And this is the Medo-Persian. It's represented as a bear with this breast and arms of silver. And so after the Babylonian Empire, the Persian king, Cyrus the Great, in 539, he wiped out the Babylonian kingdom, and the exiled Judeans were permitted to return to Judah. And part of this reason was because that Cyrus the Great felt that the Babylonian kingdom fell partially because he destroyed all their methods of worship. And so he allowed them to go back. Now, everyone right now is giving the same look that I give when I hear history. So take a breath. Give a breath. This is important stuff when you see some big things. Jesus spoke Aramaic, and that was established during this time. And now we have the big thing that happened, which was Alexander the Great. How many of you ever heard of Alexander the Great? Okay, so if you see the next slide here, Alexander the Great, it's pretty fascinating thing that happens here. The highlighted part of the map here, starting in the upper left, where the highlighted Macedonia, Greece area, he begins his campaign, and in 3 year time, he conquers the majority of the known world. He goes all the way down into Egypt. That's Africa, northern Africa, Egypt. He establishes this tremendous kingdom. He goes all the way over to India. And during Alexander the Great's his run and his conquest, several big things happen. First of all, he spreads Greek culture. And the main points of Greek culture, this is called Hellenization, was the Greek intellectualism. How many of you like sports? Love sports? All right. Well, they began to build gymnasiums. And as they built these gymnasiums, athletes would compete in these Greek games and whatnot. He brought the big one, though, as he established, named cities after himself, Alexandria, writing this Greek language. And now we have a common, everybody say common, a common language, and we have writing. Now, most of these Jews, as they were in captivity, they weren't taught well Hebrew. And they didn't understand it. And so now they're coming back. They're wanting to worship God, but they don't understand the scripture. And so we have this tremendous undertaking, this translation of the scriptures into Greek, the Septuagint. Important, important, important thing that happened here. So Alexander the Great's kingdom, it was tremendous, marked with this intellectualism, common language, and this was a big leap forward. And the size and the scope of the empire were now united. In fact, check this out. Antiquities writes this, that when Alexander the Great was laying siege to Jerusalem, they brought to him the book of Daniel. And this is what Antiquities says. And when the book of Daniel was shown to him, Alexander the Great, wherein Daniel declared that one of the Greeks should destroy the empire of the Persians, he supposed that himself was that person indeed, and then he was glad. Imagine that, reading history and like, I'm that guy. Well, these learning centers came forward, and as Alexander, he died young, some really, really interesting life. He didn't have any children, so he divided his kingdom, and I know everybody's kind of like, okay. He divided his kingdom among his four main generals, and we're going to focus on two of them. And these two empires, and Turkey and Iraq, the northern part there of Turkey and Iraq, we have the Seleucid Empire. Okay, and then we have the Ptolemaic Empire, which is down in Egypt. And Israel sat right in the middle. Now, they went back and forth. There's all this fighting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between these two empires. And let's just kind of skip ahead a little bit at that this one emperor in the Seleucid Empire, Antiochus IV, he named himself Epiphanes. Now, how many of you have ever had, know what the word epiphany, if you've ever had an epiphany? It's like a moment of clarity, and actually means like a vision from God or a vision of God. This dude named himself Epiphanes. Can you say pride monger? Yeah. He was quite the guy. And what he really pressed this Hellenization. In fact, he pressed against the Jews in Jerusalem. He said that they couldn't pray except to him. He outlawed circumcision. So any of these Greek or these Jewish athletes who wanted to compete, what they did is they actually tried to reverse the circumcision, which was an entire abomination before God. He forbid them to follow their dietary laws. And the big critical mass was met. The final catalyst for a revolution was when he went to the temple and he took a pig and he sacrificed a pig, which meant in Greek culture, that's an unclean animal. He sacrificed a pig to the Greek gods and threw the blood on the walls. They went to the temple and they said, you know what? We want one of you priests to offer a sacrifice to Zeus. And one of the priests got ready to, and a gentleman named Matthias, a priest, stood up and slayed him right there. And bam, we have the beginning of what's called the Maccabean Revolution. The Maccabean, the next leader is a guy named Judah Maccabees, or Judas Maccabees. And he begins to lead this tremendous revolution, throwing off Seleucid rule. And sure enough, they win. Jerusalem is liberated, and they invite a season of rejecting Hellenistic culture. We have two big factions now. We have you heard of the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Well, the Sadducees were kind of the Greek influence, the Hellenized ones. And then we have the Pharisees, who are rejecting all of the Greek culture and going way, way back into strict observance of the law. Now, I get it. This is like, Pastor, why are you sharing all this stuff? This is boring. Amen. Well, teacher's pet, would thou like to finish? All right. Would you stand to your feet and sing the closing hymn? All right, I'm trying to make this as interesting as possible. Here's the big point, and thank you, David. Epiphanies. Here's the point. We didn't have a common system of writing or language. It took a great amount of time to do that and conquest to do it. The Roman Empire, they're all about peace. And now you see these factions who are fighting. The Roman Empire would exert, when they saw friction, they would just come. And we have Pompey the Great, who takes over Jerusalem. He basically says, hey, everybody, cool. You can worship, but you better settle down. That's the environment getting ready for the birth of Christ with this infighting between them. And now with the Roman rule, the Roman culture brought all this infrastructure. There was the Pax Romana. All roads lead to Rome. They built roads. They built bridges. They had this military presence, so now you could travel peacefully. Never before in history could a message be written and be taken across the world like it could now. What does all this mean? At just the right time, a message could be heralded, could be spread about the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll get ready to land this plane today. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. One last little sidebar of history. Augustus wasn't a very likely choice. He was young, and one of the reasons that he was chosen was the Senate thought that they could easily control him. But then he sided with Mark Antony, and he cleaned the swamp of the Senate. And then he decided he wanted to remove all those images of Julius Caesar and replace them with his own marble statues of us. And how do you think you're going to pay? How does government pay for things? Everybody's like, oh, careful, don't talk political now. Through taxes. And so if you're going to tax, you're going to declare a census. So he declared a census. Why did this have to happen? This is beautiful. Mary and Joseph are living in Nazareth. Nazareth is 70 miles away from Bethlehem. 700 years before, Micah prophesied that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. How do we get them here? All of these world events happen. Now, Mary is pregnant. Ladies, do you have any, and nowadays we do, a baby comes on its own schedule. This is before the days of Pitocin. I mean, nowadays it's like a doctor wants to play golf, and so he says, well, you know, this is convenient. We're just going to have your baby on Thursday. We're just going to come in, hook you up, bam, you have your baby. Great, super, super. This was before those days. A baby came when the baby came. You had no control over that. And so a message, a decree goes forth that everyone is going to be registered, and now Joseph is going to bring Mary 70 miles on this journey. Now, think about this. If this message would have gone forward and the winds would have been different, the message gets there too early and they go, and then she has a baby when they return back in Jerusalem or Nazareth, excuse me. If the message is too late, she has the baby. She has the baby at a different time. It had to be at exactly the right time. And all of these events, they come together and they come into focus. And guys, if you don't see this, in verse 4, and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. The stage was set for the most important message of all eternity to be recorded, to be shared, to be taken throughout the known world. And it could be scrutinized. It could be checked for authenticity. And brothers and sisters, what does this have to do with us today? Here's where we're going to land a plane. Number one, God's timing is not ours. Number two, and this is the big one. Just because you may not see God working does not mean that He is not. Just because you don't see something taking place doesn't mean that God is not busy orchestrating and moving. I mean, literally, we have empires that have to make their contribution. Why didn't Jesus come earlier? Because the fullness of time had not yet come. The message of the birth of the Messiah was right on time, down to the most minute details, where he moved people around using world events to get them in just the right place at just the right time so the message of Christ could be heralded. Praise God for his sovereignty. My final thing is this. You see, I think a lot of people maybe fit into that second category. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I need to hear a message, and his message will come right on time. My third point is the most important, which is this. Waiting is preparation. You see, for many of us, we view our Christian walk somewhat differently. We kind of wait until God throws us in the situation, and then we scurry around trying to be ready. When could we, as followers of Christ, understand this truth? In the wait, you need to be busy. You need to be actively preparing yourself, because God is busy orchestrating everything in your life. Are we? God didn't take time off during the 400 silent years. He didn't sit back and wait. If anything, he's waiting on civilization to catch up to him. I've talked to, when I was in my 20s and beginning preaching and beginning teaching. I remember talking with other young ministers who were like, I wish I had the opportunity. And when I have the opportunity to preach, man, then I'm going to do this and that. I say, well, why aren't you preparing now? Why aren't you writing sermons now? Well, I don't have any need to. What? You better get going on that. For some of us, we're waiting. We're saying, oh, I wish I had a purpose in my life. I wish I knew what God had for me. And when God gives me an epiphany, bad choice of words now, when God brings to me this understanding, then I'm going to get busy. Honey, what I got to tell you to now is get busy now. Get busy in the Word, getting the character of God in your life, in your heart, so that when the promise comes, you're going to be able to sustain it. This is a time for all of us. Now, my challenge for us this week, because I recognize for a lot of us, this week is the kickoff of really, really getting into the preparations for Christmas. My challenge for us all as families and as part of this community is don't miss Christ in the preparations of Christmas. Don't miss the big things. Don't be so consumed with putting ourselves in debt, that we miss the greater understanding that we're celebrating the greatest event of all history. And what that means, that we love God with all of our heart and we love our neighbors as ourselves. God's moved world events around so that He's right on time. In the wait, the thing that you're waiting for, be actively waiting. Be actively waiting.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.